Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
It's great to be down here with you guys. You know, we live in challenging times, don't we? And there's a lot kicking off all over the place. But in amongst that, God's called us to be who he's called us to be light, to be salt, to be a city on a hill. And what we're going to look at this morning in this whole kind of flow of talking about God's kingdom, we're going to look at God's kingdom dominion in our lives. What does it mean to have his dominion, his rule and reign in lives? What does that mean to then live that out in our lives and in society? So if you want to just get your Bibles ready, just turn to Colossians 1. We're going to, the scripture will come up on the screen in a minute when we come to it. But if you want to get your Bibles ready, just before we get into the word, the start of the new year as a church, we always have some kind of prayer and fasting. And what we're going to do in January, from the 4th, Monday the 4th, through to the last day, the 31st of January, so we're going to have 28 days of prayer and fasting to launch into the year. We're going to get into a couple of books in the Bible. One is Matthew, one of the Gospels, and the other one is the book of Acts. And we're going to get into the book of Matthew because we want to go deeper with God. We want to know him in a greater way. So we're going to walk through the Gospel of Matthew with Jesus, and we're going to find out who he is, what he says, and how he works in our lives and in people's lives. So we want to go deeper in our relationship with God. But then also we're going to go through the book of Acts. It's also got 28 chapters. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the book of Acts with the early church. So we want to go deeper with God because we want to go further in his purposes. Anybody amen that?
Yes.
We want to be more fruitful in our lives. And so we're going to go deeper to go further with God. And we're going to kind of use those two books of the Bible. So walk with Jesus and then walk with the early church and just see what God wants to do in our lives. So what we're going to encourage everybody to do is get your Bible, have a journal, a notebook and a pen. And every day, just spend time in each chapter that we're going to be looking at each day. We're spending time reading the Word, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to what God is saying, what he shows us in his Word. Then what does that mean for our lives? What's the application of that? And then praying through that and just allowing God to reveal more of who he is, to challenge us, inspire us, and encourage us to move forward in the things of God. And a bit of a picture for that. You know, anybody seen an oak tree before? We've got one outside the front of our house. And it's a massive, great big thing. And it's always, or not always, because obviously a lot of the leaves are falling off now. But when an oak tree is in, you know, full kind of bloom, as it were, it's covered in leaves, but it's also covered in acorns. And no matter what the weather is doing, it can be stormy, windy, tipping down with rain. This oak tree, even though it might sway a little bit in the wind, it still stands there resolute, you know, and it kind of says, doesn't matter what you throw at me, I'm still going to stand. I'm still going to be here tomorrow. You're not going to, there might be a few leaves that blow off, a few acorns that fall on the ground, but I'm here for the long term. And I don't know, when you look at a tree like that, you think, wow, where does it get its stability, its strength? It's kind of, I'm still going to be here, you know, no matter what comes at me. And we all know what the answer is, but obviously it's the roots. And the deeper the roots, the stronger and the taller the tree is enabled to grow and the more fruitful it becomes. And when you think about the roots, what are they doing? The roots underground are constantly pressing in, burrowing further, looking for fresh soil to actually feed on, to allow the life or the sap of then what flows up through the roots into the tree to enable it to be strong, to be fruitful, and to stand in the face of whatever comes at it, but to basically reproduce and multiply. So in our driveway, the amount of acorns and stuff, you know, that you have to wipe off your car and everything because of the stuff that it throws down. But it's there to multiply, to reproduce. And if you take any one of those acorns and stick it in the ground somewhere, it's going to then grow another oak tree. And you know, it's great that the next year our overall theme for the whole year is going to be living as a sent people. We want to live as a sending church, as a sent people. But We're only going to be as effective in going to reach people and impact lives as we are in terms of like the depth of relationship and the depth of how we're knowing God and moving with God. So that's going to kind of be the overall thing. So we have 28 days. We're going to have some encounter nights all together in Horsham. You'll have some down here locally. We've got a vision night as part of that time. So, but we want to launch the year, 28 days, prayer and fasting. And you won't be fasting for 28 days solid. Nobody's like, thank you. We're just going to encourage people to miss one meal a day. And that might be when you can do, you know, read the word and just get into what God wants to do in your life personally. And also we're going to encourage people fast some kind of media during that 28 days. You know, a lot of us, you know, in life now, you just, you know, you're on your phone, your iPad, you're this, that, or the other, Facebook messages, tweets, and Instagram, and everything else that people do these days. And it's like your phone is attached to your hand, you know, it's like an extension of your hand. It's like, and it's good to fast some of that. Not to replace it with another form of media, but maybe, you know, in your household, you know, if you've got kids and everything, you might all decide, let's not watch telly for that time. Or do something that, you know, it might be difficult if one person says, I'm not watching TV, and somebody else says, well, I still am. And, you know, that's not necessarily going to be easy. So, you know, decide in your household what you might do if you're going to do something together. But do fast some sort of media and create some space. But let's fill that space with what God wants to do in our lives and not fill it with something else. But we also want to encourage people to hang out with each other, spend time with each other. Maybe you want to get with some other guys, one or two other people, maybe a husband and wife. You might want to, you know, read the word together and go through Matthew and Acts together. Maybe you want to grab two or three other friends and maybe once or twice a week meet up with them and read together, listen together, pray together. What's God saying to you? Encourage each other. But we want it to be a time where We want to know God in a greater way, deeper way, and so that we can be more fruitful and more effective in our lives. So we want to be like that oak tree. We're going deeper with God, but we want to be more fruitful in terms of what God does in our life. Brilliant. Let's have a look at being a king, having kingdom dominion in our lives this morning. And what does that mean? Pastor Gary was down with you guys a few weeks ago. Is that right? Do you remember him? And he brought a great word. So I'm told. And you brought a great word about having a kingdom mindset. Is that right? And a lot of the theme is about being kingdom people. And we're going to look at what does it mean to have kingdom dominion in our lives? And in order to do that, we need to have a kingdom mindset. Now, these three chairs, if you haven't seen them before, not the actual chairs, but what they represent and what they mean is, I think earlier in the year, did a message on the great rest for those of you that were here that day. And, want to use that as a bit of a backdrop to help us locate what we're going to say this morning. But this chair here represents your life before you knew God. Okay, so this represents when you live, if you like, in the kingdom of darkness or the dominion of darkness rather than the kingdom of darkness, under the power of darkness, as we're going to read in a minute. And when you don't know God, you're outside of relationship with God. This one, this is the great rest. So when you know God, he brings you into relationship with him and Christ comes to live in you and then you then live in Christ also. You then come into the rest of God or the great rest. And that's where you're living, filled in the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to walk with God. You want to be led by God. You want to be led by the Spirit. And you're seeking to rest from trying to live in your own efforts and you're now living in the power of the Holy Spirit, living who you are in Christ, okay? But we all know none of us are perfect. None of us get it right all the time. And sometimes we try and take things into our own sort of hands and do things in our own effort and our own strength. And we end up doing things in self-effort. And this is the chair of kind of self where for whatever reason, even though we know God's the creator of heaven and earth, he was here before time began. He was here before any of us were around, and he was not doing a bad job, you know, without us. And yet sometimes we think, okay, God, I know you're Lord. I know you're amazing. I know you're King. I know you're the creator. I know you've never got anything wrong, but I'm just going to handle this one on my own. And I'm just going to worry about it because I'm just going to be afraid of something. I'm just going to try and work this one out because for some reason or other, I think I need to trust myself and do it rather than trust in you. And God never intends that. He wants us to live in a moment by moment relationship with him. He wants us to live in the now of who he is right now, so that we live in a place of rest, that we don't live in a place of stress or fear or trying to do things in our own effort. That's what these three kind of chairs represent. And so we're going to look at the word and how do we live as a person in God's kingdom dominion. Okay, so let's have a look at the first scripture, which is one, which is Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. The word says here, for Jesus has rescued us from the dominion or the power of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, or we have deliverance or freedom, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so if we can use our chairs here, this helps us to see what God has done in our lives. So Jesus has rescued us from the power of darkness, the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the great rest, the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, it's interesting when we look at these words. I don't want to go too much into this, right? But there's two different words in the Bible for dominion, depending on whether it's the dominion of darkness or whether we're talking about the kingdom of God, God's dominion, okay? When it talks about the kingdom of darkness, the word that's used there, okay, when it talks about the dominion or the power of darkness, the word there that is used means to control someone or to have mastery over them, okay, or to have power over somebody or to rule over you. So when it talks about the power of darkness, it talks about the control that the devil has over people's lives. Now, many of us know, if you know God here, many of you know that we understand by reading the word that there is the power of darkness, but there's also God's power that works that frees us from every power of darkness. But many people out there don't realize when they don't know God that they are part of a dominion of darkness, but they don't realize it. They don't realize that the enemy in some way or other is affecting their lives because they don't live in a spiritual way. They live in the natural realm and they're doing all this stuff thinking they are free to do whatever they want, but yet everybody conforms to what everybody else does. But on the inside, we know they're not free. Anybody watching Celebrity Get Me Out of Here at the moment? Few people, one or two people, okay? My daughter likes to watch it, right? And so she videos it. But last night, it was interesting. One of the guys on there is the guy, the lead singer, who Spandau Ballet. What's his name? Tony Hadley, yeah. Interesting, last night there was a conversation some of these guys were having about their fame and about what it's like for them. And he said, you know, we had our first number one single in 1980. We've toured the world. We've had number one singles, number one albums. We've had more money than we can spend and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I've got all this stuff. I'm going to do whatever I want. He said, but I'm still not happy. And he said it out there, you know, on telly, but I'm not happy. I'm not happy. And it's like, we know that all that stuff doesn't bring happiness, contentment in a way that we think it's going to. So anyway, the enemy here has power over people. Okay. And he rules over them. But there's a different word that is used for dominion when it talks about God's kingdom. Now, the Bible says here, we've been rescued out of this power, the control of darkness, and we've been brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Now, the word for kingdom, God's kingdom, in the Greek is this word basileia, okay? Now, the word basileia means God's rule and reign, not over you, but in you. All right, just stick with me for a minute. His rule and reign in you, enabling you then to rule and to reign. So he takes us out of this power of darkness that rules over us and controls us, and he brings us into the kingdom where he enables us to rule and reign in him over situations. So here you're under everything, you're controlled by something. Here you're set free from the control of the enemy over sin, over death, over addictions, over sickness, all that kind of stuff. And we're brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves that enables us to rule and reign with his kingdom power. Now, the word dominion means power, might, and strength. But it's a power, might, and strength that is at work in you, not over you. Very good. Come on. Also, the word basileia means God's sovereignty. Sovereignty means power and authority. So not only do you rule and reign over now, and you have dominion over darkness, but also you have power and authority enabling you to overcome, enabling you to walk as a person of victory. So God enables you to walk not as a victim, but as a victor. So over here, you're a victim. You're under the power of the enemy. He controls, manipulates, does what he wants to do in people's lives. And many don't even realize it. But here, we're now in a different kingdom that has already won the power over the power of darkness, so that when we're living in the rest, when we're living as a kingdom person, when the enemy seeks to take us out, steal, kill, or destroy, cause fear around our lives, circumstances don't add up, there's challenges in life, things go on that we all face, but yet we now have a power at work in us, power, might, and strength. We have an authority at work in us that enables us now to overcome temptation, overcomes negativity, overcomes fear, overcomes sickness, overcomes negativity, overcomes addictions, overcomes all the stuff that tries to come our way. Anybody believe that today? Also, the word basileia here means royalty. So you've been made royal because we're now part of a kingdom that has a king. You know, in this dominion of darkness, there's no kingdom. You can only have a kingdom where there's a king. And the devil's never described in the Bible as a king. It's described as the dominion of darkness. There's a power. He's been given certain things to dominions to work in. And we know when Jesus returns, he's going to wrap everything up and the enemy's going to be dealt with. But while we're alive and while we're walking on this earth, God has given us sovereignty, his rule and reign, his power, his authority, his might, his strength to live as a person of victory. But also, what does it mean? The word basileia means royalty, which means you've become an heir. So you're now an heir with Christ. That means you rule and reign with him. That's why with his life, it's not his life that he has in you so he rules over you. His life is in you so that he rules with you and you rule with him. It's a work that is happening in you. So you've now become an heir with Christ. So all the inheritance that Jesus has with the Father, we now have that full inheritance. You're now a new creation. You're a new person. You have the same authority, the same power, the same might, the same strength that Jesus had. Does anybody believe this in here this morning? When Jesus lived on earth, he was fully man, just like you and I. He was fully dependent on the Holy Spirit to be who the Father had called him to be. Because what did Jesus say? I only do the things I see my Father doing. I only speak the words that he gives me to speak. He said that I can't do anything in my own strength. I can't do anything in my own efforts. So in his humanity, he was fully dependent. So he lived in the rest of God. He lived in the great rest, knowing he's fully dependent on who the Father is. In Ephesians 1, which we're going to look at in a moment, the beginning of that chapter, it says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So everything that is in Christ is ours. Amen. His rule, his reign, his power, his might, his strength, his victory, his overcoming nature and life is ours. Also, I love this. The word basileia, also for God's kingdom, God's dominion, this is brilliant. What the word actually means is it's the root word for the base or the foundation or the seat of power. So God's kingdom, okay, his kingdom life, his kingdom rule and reign, his kingdom is the base or the foundation or the seat of power. And he has placed his kingdom life in you and I. So therefore, our lives are rooted, like that oak tree, they're rooted in his kingdom life. Therefore, our lives are rooted and based on this seat, this foundation of power of who he is. So in our lives and the way we live, if we're rooted in Christ, if we're established in Christ, then we're like that oak tree that can stand in the middle of challenges, circumstances, opposition, negativity, whatever's going out in the world, so we don't have to then live in fear. that because we're rooted in the seat and the foundation of power, his kingdom, who he is, his power, might, strength, authority, overcoming life, there's nothing to fear.
Yes.
Are you guys all right down in Worthing on the coast?
Yeah.
You just look slightly more happy. Just turn to the person next to you and say, this is good. This is God's word to you this morning. All I'm doing is saying, what's in the Bible this morning, okay? And so I love this. So if you have, this is God's kingdom dominion that is at work in you right now. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1, okay? Let's have a look at, see what Paul wrote about all of this stuff to the early church and what it means. You know, the days we're in, they're interesting ones. There's stuff kicking off all over the place. On Twitter, one of the things that I follow is called Breaking News. And I don't know, these guys must have people on the ground all over the place, but they just know what's going on right this moment, all the time. And, you know, even over the last 48 hours, the amount of smaller terrorist attacks that have happened in several nations around the world, it's amazing that you don't hear about on the news. They're not reporting it. If it happened in London, it would be all over the news. It happened in Paris again, all over the news. But there's these terrorist attacks, people dying every day, bombs going off outside embassies and here, there and everywhere over the last few days in different nations. And there's stuff kicking off all over the place. And it's a time when the enemy seeks to just cause fear everywhere. And we don't live according to fear. See, fear cripples. Fear stops people from moving in their lives and going forward in their lives. And we don't live by fear, we live by faith. Faith is something that you don't see in terms of initially what God says, but then as we act upon it, we then begin to see the outworking of our faith, you know? And living as a kingdom dominion person, it just means every day there's a need in our lives in the middle of what's going on where we need to rise up. We need to be in a place of victory in our lives. By living in the great rest, that's how we stay in that place of victory. But, you know, we need to be praying into things. We need to be declaring and decreeing, and we need to be speaking the things that are not as though they were. Because stuff is going to get worse out there. I don't want to be negative in that sense, but stuff is going to get challenging out there. More and more as the enemy, as the power of darkness wants to cloud over what's going on in nations, yet the church has got to rise up as the people of light that God has called us to be at these times. Let's have a look and see what Paul says in Ephesians, verse 17. Some of you will know these well. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So Paul's praying here for the Ephesians. Now, Jane and I, my wife and I and our daughter Megan, we were in Turkey a few weeks ago during half term. And we were on holiday there for a week. And we won a holiday there. I don't know how we won it. I just got a phone call one day saying, congratulations, you won a holiday. And whenever you get one of those, you go, yeah, right. And how did I win that? And, you know, anyway, it was genuine. And it was a place that we wanted to go to anyway. And my wife had two prophetic words in January by two different people in two different places saying, you're going to go to Turkey this year. And it's linked with some other stuff to do with Israel, Cyprus, and nations that are kind of gateway nations and everything. Anyway, without going into the details of that. So we were in Turkey. 20 minutes from where we were staying was the old city of Ephesus. And they've kind of excavated about 10% of what was Ephesus in Paul the Apostle's day, around Jesus' time. And we went and, you know, walked around the kind of what they basically uncovered. There's an amphitheater there that holds 25,000 people. Every third or fourth building seemed to be some kind of temple where they worship some kind of God, you know? And in that culture, in that society, they openly worshiped all kinds of different gods and statues and whatever they were, okay? And the culture, especially when you kind of read some of the information as you go around, we bought this guidebook, and some of what you read, you think, man, we think we live in a pagan society, a society where people are just doing whatever they want. And you read about what they got up to in Ephesus then. It was a port city. It was a place there where they imported stuff and exported. It was a gateway into that part of the world. And a lot went on in that city. It was a key place. And we were reading some of what happened in the book of Acts. When we were walking around, we had our, you know, Bible with us, and we were just reading, well, what happened in this place? What did Paul do? What was happening in the early church? And we were reading some of the things that he said to the Ephesians. And when we were reading some of this stuff in the context of the lifestyle of the city and the things they got up to, which in our day happens behind closed doors, but a lot of it was happening out in public in different ways. It was a Roman city. It was pretty much, you know, they were pretty out there in some of the things they were doing. And in the middle of that, he's saying to these guys that are facing the challenges of that society, that culture, and what people got up to and what it was like. In the middle of that, he's writing to these guys saying, I'm continuing to pray for you guys in the middle of the challenge of the culture, the society you're in. He said, I keep praying and asking that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So in the midst of all that stuff, you're going to know how to walk with him and know him better. And the word know there is more experiential knowing. It's not knowledge about somebody. It's the experiential knowing of somebody. And so he's saying, I'm praying for you that you'd have the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you would have an experiential knowing of who Christ is. Then he says, then I'm praying that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The word heart there in the Greek means heart, mind. It means heart and mind together, connected. It's not just that you have something going on in your heart, but your heart mind is enlightened, or is another word for enlightened there, is flooded with light. So he's praying here saying, in the midst of the challenge of your culture, that you have an experiential knowing of who Christ is, and that your heart mind, your life would be flooded with light in the middle of the darkness that you're living in, that your heart mind, your heart and your thinking joined together, you'd be flooded with the light of who God is, flooded with the truth of who he is. So that in that moment, in that time, you would know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, we live in a different society, but we live with just as many challenges in different ways. And he is encouraging, exhorting these guys, in the middle of darkness, in the middle of what this looks like, in the middle of the challenges, I'm exhorting you guys to go deeper with God, to press into God, that you'd have a revelation of who he is. You'd know the hope to which he's called you in the middle of that culture, to be light in a place that is dark, to be hope in the hopelessness, to have answers where people are crying out for answers. That in the middle of that, you're a people of hope. In the middle of that, you would know the glorious inheritance, this dominion life that I've brought you into, out of the darkness that you see around you. I've put something on the inside of you that is more powerful, more victorious, can overcome. And I want you knowing this power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is at work in you right now. It's in you right now. It's in you right now. And God wants to reveal that to the people that are around us, because they don't realize they're controlled by this dominion of darkness. And people need setting free by people who are free. Is everybody here this morning? And he says, I'm praying also that you know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That incomparably is his kingdom power, his kingdom dominion, power, might, strength, authority at work in you for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you and I right now. He's the one that enables us to live in the great rest with God's kingdom, dominion, power, might, and strength. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God's power, might, and strength on the inside of you. You know, his might, power, and strength is not a feeling. You know, the truth of God's word is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. The truth and the power of God's word in your life and in my life is a relationship. It's a relationship with the one who is the truth. It's a relationship with the one who is the power. It's a relationship with the one who is the might. It's a relationship with the one who is the strength. It's a relationship with God. And as we are seated in Christ, as we are seated in the great rest, as we live in that place, God enables us to then live in his dominion power over negativity, over whatever's going on, over the challenges that are going on around us, over sickness, over negativity, over challenges, over people that come against you, over whatever is going on in our lives. Then he says here, far above, this same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. That's you and I.
Yes.
So Jesus is the head. We're the body. Is that right? A body's not going to be that effective if it doesn't have a head. Okay, it's going to look a bit messy. It's going to walk. It's not going to go good if you haven't got a head. Okay. And so the Bible talks about Jesus being the head and we're the body. And the body and the head have to be connected so that the body knows how to act, how to be, how to respond, what to do. I think it's amazing, you know, in our minds, we think something and then we do it without even realizing. So if I'm going to touch the chair, I don't think, right, touch the chair. Now, if I'm going to touch the chair, that means I've got to move my arm. That means I'm going to have to touch it and then grab it. It's not like that. You just think, right, I'm going to pick this chair up, and you don't think you just go and do it and you pick it up. It's like, it's such an instantaneous, oh, the right way to say that, wouldn't it? Instantaneous thing that happens. You just act, you do it without thinking, because the mind and the body are so connected that as soon as the mind, the brain, that makes a decision, the body's doing it. It's just there. And this is what Paul's talking about here, that we're so at one with who God is. We're so brought into this kingdom life, this kingdom dominion, that when the head thinks something, when the heart, mind, the head thinks something, the body's there and moves and acts, because we're so connected, we're so at one with who God is. All right? And then it says here, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him head over everything for the church. Notice, for the church. So God has appointed Christ head for the church, because there's things that God wants you and I as the church to be doing on earth as if Jesus was here. Jesus has passed the baton on now to you and I. So we now carry the baton of God's kingdom life. That's why he says, I'm not going to leave you in darkness. I'm going to bring you into my kingdom. I'm going to give you all the power, all the authority, all the might, all the strength of who I am. You're going to be somebody of inheritance. You're going to be an heir. You're going to be somebody who has the royal blood of Jesus flowing through your life. That means you can have victory. You can overcome. You can break through. You can have victory. You don't have to live defeated. You're not a victim. You're a victor. Does anybody believe that this morning?
Yeah.
I don't know what you normally, is it more, I don't normally preach like this recently. It's been a little bit more chatty. But whenever I brought this message in the other two congregations, it's been a bit more of a preach. It's like God wants to, not punch us, but if you know what I mean, he wants to go on the inside of our spirit and go, come on, and something blows, you know, explodes in your spirit. You know, it's like, yes, you know, because faith gets released in you. And faith is not a feeling, it's not emotion, it's the truth coming alive in you, and a heart-mind change goes on, and on the inside you go, that's me, he's talking about me, he's describing who I am this morning, that's who I am. And that's what we're doing, we're just describing who you and I are in the spirit. This is who we are. The devil knows who you are. He sees all this stuff that we're talking about this morning. He sees you as a person of light. He sees you as a person of authority. He sees you as a person of power. He sees you as a person of might. He sees you as a person of strength. The devil knows, and sometimes he knows more than a lot of Christians do, what Christians actually have on the inside of them. The thing is, do we know it? Do we believe it? And do we actually live in it? The enemy knows who you and I are. He sees what is at work in us. That's why he constantly comes against you. The only thing the enemy has is this. He can only come with this. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. That's not you. You don't feel it, do you? So it's not true. He's preaching too loud this morning. He's too full on this morning. That's it works for him, but it won't work for you. It's what the devil's doing right now on your shoulder. You don't feel it, do you? You don't feel like victory. You don't feel like an overcomer. You don't feel like you've got dominion. You don't feel forgiven sometimes. So it's not true because you don't feel it. And that's what the enemy works on your feelings all the time, your mind and your feelings. That's all he has to work on because the Bible says he's been defeated, disarmed. He's defeated and disarmed. All he's got is that. And we're just being encouraged this morning. Don't listen to that. Listen to who we are in Christ, what it means to have victory, to overcome, to be a person of faith. So he's head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. So God's expectation is the church, you and I, are living in the fullness of him. Amen. So he's filled us with the fullness of who he is, filled us in every way. Yeah. So this morning, you lack nothing. You lack nothing this morning. You lack nothing today because you are full of who he is. God doesn't give you a bit of himself. He gives you the fullness of who he is. He doesn't say, I'll give you a little bit of my spirit. See how you get on. And if you do something good, then I'll bless you with a bit more. He says, no, I'm giving you the fullness of who I am because I want to reveal the fullness of who I am out there. And then finally, some of you think, great, you can shut up in a minute and we can go and have a coffee. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. He'll fill anything that's available to him. He'll fill anybody that's available. Doesn't matter. He's no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter what your background. Doesn't matter what your bank balance. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter whether you're old or young, male or female. Doesn't matter who you are, what color skin you are. It doesn't matter because God says, anybody's available, I will fill to the fullness. I'll fill everything in every way. But there's more than that. He wants to fill creation. He wants to fill nations. He wants to fill society. He wants to fill your community. He wants to fill worthy with who. This is what this is about. So if his fullness is in the church, it's going to spill out because he says, I want to fill everything in every way, not just the church. But if the church is full, it's going to overflow out into people's lives. Let's stand together, shall we? There's an amazing verse in Job 22. Just jump into your feet. Love this verse. It says in Job 22, verse 25. This is all to do about having kingdom dominion. Okay, the New Test, the NIV, which this is, doesn't really use the right words to actually explain what it is. There's other translations that are more accurate than this one. But verse 28. This is talking about praying. If I just read a couple of verses before. It says about delighting in who God is, the almighty nature of who he is, delighting in the almighty, lifting our faces before him. It says in verse 27, you will pray to him and he will hear you and you will fulfill your vows. Then in verse 28, on the board there, it says what you decide on will be done and light will shine on your ways. But a more accurate translation is what you decree will be established. What you decree will be established. You see, if we have a kingdom mindset and we understand that revelation, we have kingdom dominion, then what you decree will be established. It will be released. Things will happen around your life and light will shine on your ways or on your path, or light will shine before you so you know which way to walk and how to go. And so I don't know for you guys, but you know, if we've got kingdom dominion in our lives, then we can say about our lives when stuff isn't going good, enough is enough. It's time for that to stop, that to finish. It's time for that to change. I'm not putting up with that cycle of whatever it is any longer. Could be a cycle of sickness. Could be something going on in your family. Could be something to do with one of your kids. It could be something going on at work. It could be something. It doesn't matter what it is. But on the inside, God's kingdom dominion is rising up on the inside of you. And you need to say, enough is enough. I'm not putting up with that any longer. Maybe you're praying for your husband or your wife to be saved or one of your kids to be saved and saying, now's the time. Enough is enough. It's time they came to the Lord. And it's like something rising up on the inside of it that says, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Anybody believe any of that lot? All right. So let's just take a few moments. Firstly, and what I want to encourage you to do is speak out loud, because time's kind of gone. I want you to speak out loud these things. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word. Hopefully faith has been released in you today, but just speak it out. Firstly, thank God for the victory that you have in your life. Just thank him that you are an overcoming person. Thank him that he has brought you out of the power of darkness, that dominion of darkness, and you're now in the kingdom of light. You're in the kingdom. You're in his dominion, his rule and reign, his victory, his power, might, and strength. Just thank him for what is at work in you right now. It's not feelings. It's the truth of who he is and what he says. And it's us now agreeing with what he says, not our feelings, not the enemy, but the truth of what he says. Just thank him that you have victory right now in your life. You have victory in your body. You have victory in your family. And now just decree some things, speak some things. When you decree, it releases what God says. And what God says shatters what the enemy says, and it then establishes what God wants to do. Some of you need to speak to sickness in your bodies right now. That cycle of sickness, that diagnosis, that ache and pain, whatever it is, you need to speak to that this morning and say, enough is enough. I'm not having this any longer. I speak to that sickness. I speak to that muscle issue. I speak to that diagnosis. I command it to leave my body now in Jesus' name. Enough is enough. Father, I thank you for my husband being saved. I thank you for my wife being saved. I take authority over everything that is stopping them from coming through. Reasoning and circumstances and all of that stuff, I just tear it down now in Jesus' name. And I speak salvation to my husband. I speak salvation to my wife. I decree over my children right now, God's favor, God's hand, whatever it is. If you've got a situation going on at work, take authority over that right now. Whatever pressure there is, whatever's going on that is not good, is coming against you. Rise up right now. Say, enough is enough. I command that situation to change now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the release of your purpose, your will, what you want to do in that situation. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Father, we thank you. You're activating us as your people to decree, to speak, declare, to be your hands and feet, your mouthpiece on earth, your intercessors, those that break through, those that stand in the authority of who we are in you. Thank you that you've called us to be as if you were here. You've called your church to be standing, moving, living, breathing, acting, speaking as if you were here. Father, I praise your name. Father, I thank you for a church on the move. I thank you for a worthy congregation on the move in this town, in this community. Father, we thank you for those who have come to know you in the last few months, but we know there is so much more. Father, we thank you for a release of your kingdom in Worthing as it is in heaven. Father, we praise your name. 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 Father, we exalt you over our lives. We surrender to your lordship and your majesty, might, and power. Father, that in you we are not victims, but we are victors. Thank you. In you we are overcomers. In you we are breakthrough people. In you we are hope and light to people. In you, Father, we have everything we need for our own lives, but also to be a blessing to others. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Just lift your head up as if you're looking up to him right now. That's how Jesus prayed so often. He lifted his head, expectant. He lifted his head because there was no shame. He lifted his head because he knew there was nothing in the way between him and his Father. And God wants us to be like that, lifting our heads, knowing you, Father, you are awesome. Father, you're amazing. Because he's dealt with every shame. He's dealt with every guilt. He's dealt with every lie that the enemy seeks to still layer on you. It's like, no, I'm not living under that. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir with Christ. So I lift my head to honor you, to glorify you, to see you, to know you, Father. Father, we thank you and we praise your name for today being a day of victory. This week being a week of victory. We thank you there are people's lives you want us to intersect with this week. where you want to bring hope, you want to bring life, you want to bring healing, you want to bring encouragement, you want to bring salvation this week into people's lives, whether that's in our home, whether it's out and about in whatever we're doing. Father, I thank you for the release of your spirit in and through our lives. I thank you for oak trees going out into this community. Oak trees going out that are rooted in you, but also going out to be fruitful and effective in other people's lives as well. Father, we praise your mighty, awesome name. Let's give God a great shout of praise. Come on. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.